Finally, brethren and sistren, if I could run through Galatians 3, wherefore serveth the law? We found that there in Galatians chapter 3, and making our final comments to this and possibly other files in our repertoire of Yahweh not Yahweh, and this under the heading of idolatry. Thank you for joining us, by the way, and please let us know whether our microphone wire is connected to the recording console by emailing us. Contact us and let us know if you're receiving the message, and hopefully you'll say something constructive and encourage us to bless Yahweh, to love one another, and to talk about Yahweh's word. Hit the contact button, and that will open up the email, and you'll be able to send us a nice crisp letter there. And don't forget to include a nice $100 bill in your, because Yahweh's coming tomorrow. We need to build this giant building outside here. So I'm not telling the real story on that, don't you? But anyway, we do appreciate your email, and we don't need your money. We could use it to give to the Gideon's Society that publish the word, as long as they're going to use the uncorrupted version of Yahweh's word, the one from Antioch, the Textus Receptus, and not use the corrupted versions of Scripture. Most of the modern ones do. There's a few out there that don't. Galatians 3. O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? There was a song by Frank Sinatra about bewitched, bothered, and bewildered. Or maybe it was Teresa Brewer. Who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes the Messiah has been evidently set forth, impaled among you? This only would I learn of you: received you the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? In Isaiah 8:20 it says, to the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. Speaking of the Torah, if they don't speak according to the understanding of having read the Torah, like Paul did, like the Messiah, of course, who wrote the Torah, then there is no light in that person if they don't speak parallel logic according to the word. Romans 8:7, Paul wrote, the carnal mind, enmity against Yahweh. It is not subject to Yahweh's law, neither indeed can be. It's the carnal mind that rejects Yahweh's law, and that deals in lawlessness or pernicious iniquity, lawlessness, rejecting his law and trying to misconstrue the scriptures, especially Paul's writings. Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit? You began in the Spirit, but now you're made perfect by the flesh. Have you suffered so many things in vain? If it be yet in vain. He therefore that ministered to you the Spirit and works miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? And here we got to be careful. Is it the works of the law? Are we talking about the sacrificial law that was added, or are we talking about Yahweh's law, the Ten Commandments, statutes, and judgments? Even as Abraham believed Yahweh, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Abraham kept the law. Yes, he kept the charge, the commandments, statutes, and judgments. That was before Moses. But Abraham kept that. Even as Abraham believed Yahweh, and it was believing Yahweh. It was faith that saved him, even though he kept the law. But it was not keeping of the law that saved him. No, we're not saved by our own works. James 2:21. Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? Scripture was fulfilled. Abraham believed Yahweh, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of Yahweh. That's from the book of James, chapter 2 there. So flipping back there, where we had our finger in Galatians, in verse 7, know you therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. We're Yahweh's children, too, of course. Verse 8, and the scripture, foreseeing that Yahweh would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the evangel unto Abraham, saying, In thee shall all nations be blessed. So there's that word evangel or gospel, which is a word, an undesirable word, but evangel, it should, English word evangel would be better, or the, you know, the correct Hebrew word would be appropriate. So we don't want to disobey. So then, they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham, or Avraham, for as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse, for it is written, Oh, you mean I'm supposed to disobey? No. Stephanie, don't get the wrong idea here. Here you are trying to turn Paul's writings around and make him some kind of a liberal person, or freeing us from the Jewish cocoon. Was Paul the champion of liberalism? It was against the law? No, I'm not going to do that. Cursed is every one that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. James 2:10 again. Let's go to James, to keep me honest here and upright. For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. So don't even try, right? Just don't even try to be perfect, even as our Heavenly Father is perfect. Don't even, just give up. Why even try? Because it said here, it said it right here. We're just, in our Protestant understanding, we have twisted Paul's words. Paul was a Hebrew scholar. He understood the word. He knew the Torah. Now, he's not going to go and preach against it. The Messiah wouldn't have gone against the Torah. He wrote it to begin with, but he would have been an imperfect, a blemished lamb. He would have been a blemished lamb that was offered for our sins, and it wouldn't have done any good. But no, he was the perfect one who kept the law. He didn't break the Sabbath by healing on the Sabbath day. That was only the some of the Jews, what's a Jew anyway? Who is circumcised in the heart, that's a Jew. Paul says, Romans chapter 2, 23, Cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. And then James 2:10 we read there, But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of Yahweh. It is evident, for the just shall live by faith. So we could go down to verse 19 here, but I think we'll keep reading for a bit, and also see Deuteronomy 27:26. And if you're driving along, maybe I can quickly get it for you here, or we stretch things out too far again. I want to keep this file real short. Maybe people can kind of just get the gist of what I was trying to convey. 27:26, Deuteronomy. My eyes are fooling me, I guess. There it is. No, cursed be he that confirmeth not all the words of this law to do them. That's Deuteronomy 27:26. Right before that, cursed be he that taketh reward to slay an innocent person. And all the people shall say, Hallel, praise Yahweh. Cursed be he that confirmeth not all the words of this law to do them. And all the people shall say, Hallel, Yahweh. Then back to Galatians. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Messiah has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Oh, good. No, being made a curse for us, for it is written, Cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. So we're still in Galatians 3. And then the next verse, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through the Messiah, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. See also Genesis 26:4. Okay. You say, well, there's time for that. Yeah, I can do that much for you anyway. And I will make thy seed to multiply as the stars of heaven, and I will give unto thy seed all these countries, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because that Abraham obeyed my voice, kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. Abraham, how did he know the statutes and all this? They weren't given until Moses, right? Well, why was it a sin then for Cain to have murdered Abel? There wasn't a law yet. There was no Ten Commandments. There was, just common sense. No, there was no law. If there was no law, then it wasn't wrong. It was just a disagreement between two people. Yahweh, you stay out of it. These two people down there didn't get along. One believed in offering the agriculture crop, the other the animals. What would be the difference, you know? But no, Yahweh doesn't stay out of it. He's the one who gave us the law that made it wrong for two men to argue and kill each other over either a small issue or something very important. In this instance, it was most important that Cain was cast out after all this. He's wandering to this day. Yahweh has redeemed us from the curse of the law. So it doesn't say Yahweh redeemed us from the law. Well, okay, I'll scratch that out then. No, I'm not doing that. I like to play the Protestant advocate just to show how ridiculous it can be. Shall I read it this way? Yeah, Messiah has redeemed us from the law, being made a curse for us. Well, that'd be taking away from the word. That wouldn't be honest for me to do that. Yahweh would have to discipline me. But you know, it says he redeemed us from the curse of the law, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through the Messiah, that we might receive the promise of Spirit through faith. I speak after the manner of men, brethren. Though it be but a man's covenant, yet if it be confirmed, no man disannulleth or addeth thereto. Kind of skip over there. Now to Abraham and his seed where the promise is made, he said not, and to seeds, and to thy seed, which is Messiah. And this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before of Yahweh in the Messiah, the law, which was 430 years after, cannot disannul, that it should make the promise of none effect. So he even has a lineage of time there, specified, lineage, the promise of none effect. For if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more a promise, but Yahweh gave it to Abraham by promise. Wherefore then serves the law? Now we hear this question. So what good is the law anyway? Well, it was added because of transgressions. You see, people were out there sinning, so Yahweh made it a law that sinning was wrong, you know? No. You're not even thinking right. It's all backwards. That's not Hebraic thought. That's Protestant thought. Wherefore then serveth the law? It was added because of what was added because of transgressions, till the seed should come to whom the promise was made, and it was ordained by messengers in the hand of a mediator. The mediator being our Messiah. The messengers in the King James is angels. So then we flip back to Jeremiah. Well, we keep our finger here to see what was added. What do you mean added? What's this added? Jeremiah 7:22 and Ezekiel 20:25. And if you already know all this, I'm just confirming it and encouraging you again. Oh, what a beautiful feast of trumpets we're having tonight. We blew up the trumpet and we're wearing the Hebraic attire, and well, we're really someone, right? No. Only because Yahweh said we might be someone. That would be the only reason there. Yahweh said in Jeremiah, I spake not unto your fathers, nor commanded them in the day that I brought them out of the land of Egypt, concerning burnt offerings or slaughter offerings. So he didn't speak unto them. I spake not. He didn't speak unto them, nor he didn't command them in the day that I brought them out of the land of Egypt concerning slaughter offerings. But what did he command it? Anyway, but this thing I commanded them, saying, and then he talks about the commandments. Obey my voice, and I will be your mighty one, and you shall be my people. And walk you on all the ways that I have commanded you, that it may be well with you. But what happened then? But they hearkened not, nor inclined their ear, but walked in the counsels and the imagination of their evil heart, and went backward and not forward. I could read all of Jeremiah, but that's a little excerpt there from chapter 7. Then I think it's in Ezekiel 20:25, so the next book. See that one, 20. Therefore, or wherefore, well, that's the same English word there. Wherefore, the same as in Galatians. Wherefore, I gave them also or I added statutes that, oh, the statutes are bad. You're not supposed to keep the feast days. No, I gave them also statutes that were not good and judgments whereby they should not live. So he in other words, he gave us slaughter offerings, the death penalty, the sin offerings that we see there back in the Torah. That was the added law. He says it wasn't good. And the judgments, those judgments, the judgments were good as far as, for example, Exodus chapter 20. And somewhere near the end there, it talks about the three of the feast days. And it says, they wouldn't be bad, or why would we keep them in the future? Isaiah 66. You know, the judgments whereby they should not live, and I polluted them and their own gifts, and that they caused to pass through the fire all that maketh the womb, or that openeth the womb, that I might make them desolate, to the end that they might know that I am Yahweh. So there he's, that could even talk about the idolatry of abortion, of aborting children these days, which is wrong, which is murder. Therefore, son of man, no big thing, huh, right, murder. Son of man, speak unto the house of Israel, and say unto them, thus saith Yahweh, yet in this your fathers have blasphemed me, in that they have committed a trespass against me. For when I brought them into the land for the which I lifted up my hand to give it to them, and then they saw every high hill and all the thick trees, and they offered offerings, and they provoked Yahweh. And then I said unto them, what is the high place wherein you go? And the name thereof is called Bamoth unto this day. Down to verse 31. D, as I live, saith Yahweh, I will not be inquired of by you. Don't even bother praying. Somebody out there saying, well, I'm not going to bother praying either. I'm way too far off. Yahweh can never forgive my sins. No, that's... Yahweh's... How big is he? How big was his offering on the tree? Was it big enough to forgive that one sin that you committed of judging somebody improperly? Yes, he's big enough to do that. Is he big enough to forgive the sin of adultery or idolatry and any kind of immorality, homosexuality, or stealing, or, you know, breaking any of his commandment, not keeping a feast day, or showing up late for the high day or the Sabbath? Or showing up late, that might be, you know, there's no sin at all, possibly. But by breaking the Sabbath, by working and, you know, oh, I got to go down to Fred Meyer's and work or buy something, yeah, that'd be sin there. You shall remember your ways and all your doings wherein you have defiled, and you shall loathe yourselves in your own sight for all your evils that you have committed. I always have to throw in all of these other things about, you know, what we do in our life to be sure and reach everyone and qualify a little bit what I'm saying. And then they've healed the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. That's Jeremiah 8:11 there. So, okay, back to the issue there. What was the added law? It was the added law of offerings, slaughter offerings, sin offerings, the certificate of indebtedness that was against us. That talks about in Colossians. It was, you know, our being guilty. We had the carnal nature that we were born with, and we just couldn't do enough to keep our hands off of somebody else's possessions, and to disobey our parents and so on. That was all wrong, but it can be under the blood of Messiah if we'll just obey him. The message of salvation is given in these feast days that we are having right now. We're so thankful for the feast days that Yahweh has provided a time for families to be families, to communicate with one another, to eat together. You know, you can't have one person sitting over here eating a meal way, way off from his family, from her family, when she's just a young thing. She should be in with mama and papa there, eating what has been provided. You know, you don't just take off and be a butterfly. And well, you occasionally, of course. What am I saying? Am I trying to interfere with your family? Well, maybe I was. No, I wasn't. I was, you know, we basically have to stick to that rule of getting together. We can't always be a scattered family. That's not a family. You know, mother can't be off doing her own thing in her career and then coming home and putting up a sign that says, do not disturb. every single night. I mean, she might have to do that, you know, a time or two, and Dad will do that, do not disturb, you know. I'm working on something. I'm working on this scripture thing right now, which is, overall, it's not more important than you, but as of this moment, you don't have an emergency, and I, Papa, I need to take care of reading the scripture or fixing the car or whatever it might be. Everything in its priority. Wherefore then serveth the law, it was added because of transgressions till the seed should come. What's the seed? That's the seed of salvation from the Messiah. The seed of Messiah's, you know, that he, and the Hebraics could explain the bloodline and everything, get into all that technicality there, which maybe somebody could really appreciate. Now a mediator is not a mediator of one, but Yahweh is Echad. Yahweh is one. It is the law, then. It is the law against the promises of Yahweh. Yahweh forbid. And then, but before faith, verse 23, before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Perhaps I should also read 22. The scripture has concluded, all under sin, that the promise by faith of the Messiah might be given to them that believe. You got to believe in Yahweh's word and his offering, his slaughter offering, that he died for us. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster. Now people who read that verse, rebellious Protestants, they don't even know what the law is. They couldn't recite the Ten Commandments, let alone by memory. They don't even know what they are. So how could it be a schoolmaster to them? But for others who have gone to Sunday school and learned the Ten Commandments, but still, it's not talking about that law. It's talking about this other law that was against us. The Ten Commandments aren't against us. They're for our profit, for our promotion, and not promoting to make ourselves any better than someone else, but in a better way. To make us more perfect like the Heavenly Father, as the Spirit enables us to keep His laws, His Ten Commandments, and so on. So the law was our schoolmaster. That law is speaking of that law that was against us. Well, you could use it either way, and it'll still work out. But whatever law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Messiah that we might be justified or made right by faith. Once again, but see Romans 8:7. The carnal mind is not subject to the law of Yahweh. So how could this, I don't see how it could be applied to the Ten Commandments. But anyway, after that faith has come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. Well, no, if we've been forgiven by Yahweh's unmerited favor, and we don't keep sinning, and we have repented, and we don't keep trying to go out with this woman who's not our wife or something, we don't, transgress Yahweh's Torah, then we are not under the schoolmaster as far as under the certificate of indebtedness that was against us. We are not condemned to life, to be extinguished or sent to the lake of fire or to go to the grave, and that would be it if you're a Jehovah's Witness. For you are all the, and I don't approve of, you know, but, for you are all the children of Yahweh by faith in Messiah. For as many of you as have been immersed or baptized into Messiah have put on Messiah. So most of you probably haven't been immersed in the water and in the Spirit. You say you have, but probably have not. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. Well, you kind of take that literally or not, you know. There's no distinction between the man and the woman anymore, the husband and the wife. There's no distinction between the Jew and the Greek. If you're a spiritual person, if you're a Greek spiritual person, then I would think that you're disobedient, that you don't have Yahweh's unmerited favor in you, that you're not saved or something, you know. But if you're a person who has the mindset of Yahweh has forgiven all my sins, and I am trusting in the Messiah, I'm trusting in His Word, then I would think that you are a spiritual Jew. You know, people still disagree with the concept of the church replaced Israel. You know, oh, forbid, we've got to keep away from that teaching. There's neither male nor female. okay, yeah, let's just be unisex. But Paul doesn't mean that. In other words, it's irrelevant in the spiritual context, whether we are Jew or Greek, bond or free, male or female, for you are all one in Messiah. For if you be Messiah's, then you are Abraham's seed. Of course you are. You descended from Abraham, right? Who did you if you didn't descend from him, then how did you get here? If your great-great-great-great-grandfather was not Abraham, I don't know who was. And then heirs according to the promise. We are heirs, you know, the promise. And mentioned in Romans 15, mentioned in back there in verse 14 in this chapter, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through the Messiah, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. And then we read Genesis 26:4. We're Abraham's seed and heirs of the promise. John 8:39. The book of Yochanan or John. What's another way of saying that? Yochanan, let's see. Oh, I don't know. 8:39. Johann, thank you. They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Messiah said unto them, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. What's he trying to put us under the law? You would keep the Ten Commandments? Well, yes, you would. You would keep, just like Abraham, he kept Yahweh's charge, his commandments, statutes, and judgments. He kept the feasts. He already knew what they were. They weren't written down in the codified in the word yet. You would do the works of Abraham. So that was John chapter 8. And that wraps up that book of, rather that chapter of that book of Galatians for now. So, and that answered the question, why thenceforth the law? Why, wherefore then serveth the law? It was added because of transgression. So the added law was not the Ten Commandments. So we've just proven that here. It all boils down to, do I love Yahweh more than I love this person or this evil act? More than I love myself? Today's Protestant ministers, some of them, especially the Sabbath-keeping Church of God type people, sometimes score worse than their Sunday counterparts. If you check out some of the other websites and tapes and preachers around the world, as long as they're not from the state of Oregon. Sorry about that, guys, if there's a couple of good ones left, but you know, they're just killing us, some of those Sunday preachers, and even some of the Pentecostals, they're just putting us to shame. They're preaching the law. They're preaching the Spirit. Why aren't we doing that? Why are we getting down to so technical? We're talking about the bloodline and the genealogies. And that sort of takes the time away from our main project. Our main commitment is to, you know, preach the gospel, preach about sin, righteousness, and judgment. Need to do that, and get back into Yahweh's way of doing things, and praise Him for the law of love that He gave us. He loved us enough to keep us out of trouble. He said, don't jump over the edge, son. My law of gravity will kill you. It's not that I hate you so much, but if you go up to El Capitan down there at Yosemite and you fall off the top of that thing and you don't have a rope attached properly, well, my law of gravity will kill you. It's because I'm an angry creator or anything. It's just that law that I made in the universe, and the law of the all these different laws, the law of thermodynamics, they still apply. Even though Messiah was here 2,000 years ago, He died for our sins, we still have these different laws, the law of thermodynamics and the law of gravity and the Ten Commandments and so on. And it's all 10, not just everything but the fourth commandment. It's all the 10. And I'm trying to scan through the notes, but folks, I just can't comprehend it fast enough to be able to convey some of the other things that not that important. I guess we were talking about Yosemite. I could tell you about that. We made a trip in our 1951 Pontiac Woody station wagon. Well, it was not real wood, you know, but it looked like it. And we traveled all over the country. We thought we were being protected by this idol, this plastic statue that was magnetically attached to a metal dashboard at that time, and or at least there was some metal up there enough to keep Christopher down there. I was going to say St. Anthony, but it was St. Christopher. And then years later, I guess the Catholic Church decanonized Christopher and took him off the dashboard, and there they went, you know. I always thought that was such a neat thing to have that white plastic statue up there, thinking that that was protecting us, but all along it was not. It was Java, and it was my dad's careful driving. He was in the delivery business anyway, so he was very, very careful and conscientious about competing with other traffic and, you know, how to go by the rules. So it was good in that area, at least. So in the meantime, let's come out of immorality and fornication. Why not help Yahweh's children? And not help out Yahweh's children and Yahweh's enemies at the same time. You know, not being decisive enough, using enough discretion there. I mean, okay, Yahweh said to bless your enemies, but that's not going to be the priority. Let's all go out and just at random acts of kindness, just help the enemy, the enemies of Yahweh, and just yoke up with them and be good friends and all, and pat them on the back and say, oh, well, let bygones be bygones. You don't believe Yahweh's word. You don't believe it's an unmerited favor or his laws. You don't believe the word, but that's not going to stop me from being your close friend. Well, here we are trying to play the best of both worlds, but come out of that. The immoral, being intimate out of marriage, and so forth, drinking, partying, and somewhat supporting some of the evil causes, abortion, voting for political figures who support abortion or immorality, which is the majority of candidates these days, of political candidates. They are for some immoral thing. If not a sexual immoral thing, it's at least for, dealing treacherously with some poor person, some down and outer, that can't help herself, and so they come along in the guise of that we're here to help you, but they're actually out there to do more damage and to do despite unto Yahweh's people, even if they aren't obviously called religious saved people or anything. We don't want to be helping out Yahweh's enemies. And the evangelical community is just going down the tubes quicker and quicker, following these kind of bad things that I've been talking about, the mainline denominations aren't helping either. The moderates are not going any further than that. We hear the talk show hosts, Savage and Michael Savage and Schwann and Rush and all, they're not going to fix America, the Tea Party. They might help a little bit, but how about the absolute contamination, the corruption, the immorality, the idolatry, and things like that we should address? You know, that's not the job of a politician. Well, but it's not the job of a politician to enact these immoral things in our government and to cause us to have to be taught that we'll be thrown in jail or something unless we go along with immorality. The old Berkeley way of the 60s, and so on. Be practical. Be following Yahweh's law. Don't be rebellious. And they say, well, we need sensitivity. We need to be sensitive, yes, to Yahweh, to his word, and to one another. We're not being sensitive if we just let things go. We just say, well, I'll just let somebody else vote for me. I don't want to take away their vote. You don't even know who you're voting for or what they stand for. Well, there's many websites that you can go to, and you could just really be a blessing to Yahweh and to his people if you'd be more, and I'm not lecturing you, if you could be more responsible. Now I want to give you a quick website here of a new Christian, or not Christian, yeah, well, a Messianic radio station. And it's in Salem, Oregon. It's K KPJC 1220. And I'm sorry, I can't get that website quickly enough for you. It must be right here. Come on. And there it is. There it is, I think. Hang on. Well, I did have it. I think it's gone now. But anyway, those are the call letters. They're KPJC. And I've listened to a lot of the run-of-the-mill messianics here and there. But this... Oh, no wonder, in the wrong file. But this one really, really is good. Okay, one more look here, and then I'll be quiet about that. But there it is, KPJC. So the website is, well, it would be, here, let me click on that thing. I've got radiotime.com/station, and then a lot of codes in there. So KPJC, as in King Papa Juliet Charles, the JC Town 1220 Christian Contemporary Salem Kaiser's Virtual Faith Community. And I was surprised that those programs also sound professional. They're not only pretty much right on the scripture, but they also did not over-modulate and distort, and they were not objectionable. So yeah, maybe you could check out their radio station there. Give it a listen. Download a little bit or something. Take it along with you. Not to distract from those who are doing Yahweh's perfect work. This is near perfect, or close enough. There's a lot of problems in anything. Nobody is that perfect these days. But it was just the best that I had heard up to this date, and I've heard a lot of these. Well, thank you again for joining us here on Yahweh, Not Yahweh. Once again, hit that contact button if you would, and leave us a little greeting of some kind. And I appreciate it. Just hit the contact button and leave an email, and we really would appreciate that. Give us a number of hits there on some of our other files. That would be appreciated as well, so that I could know that... I'm doing some effort here that is helpful to the believers in Messiah, not just Messianics or not just Baptists or this denomination or that, but to anybody who would just like to study the Word. Maybe you don't agree with us. You think that Paul is trying to do away with Yahweh's law, and that he's trying to say that the feast days are to not be observed. But, it's as we study deeper, and we try to harmonize this part of the scriptures with that, and we look up different things, we find out that it all goes together, and that His Word is truth. Thy Word is truth. Thank you, Yahweh, for giving us such a wonderful future and opportunity to serve You, filling us with Your Spirit, giving us Your law to be able to discern between right and wrong, and to make us righteous by Your Spirit, that You will actually cause us to be perfect as our Heavenly Father is. We're not giving up yet. We're not saying that it's impossible to please Yahweh. But Your Word says that it is impossible to please Yahweh unless we obey You. That's what Your Word does say. So help us to keep our sin account low, and to come out of immorality and idolatry, the big I there in the book of Ezekiel that we read earlier, and much that we didn't read. We need to keep being aware of that, of all the stuff that's going on around us, and make our trust not in man and horses and the feeble legs of man, the works of the resources of man, their profession and their money and all that, but just in You, in a humble way, in a childlike way, we come to You and say, save us, dear Yahweh. Forgive us our sins in the Messiah's name and Yahweh's name. And thank You for the gift of eternal life. And thank You for Calvary, that we can look back at Your offering on the tree, especially during these feast days. We look at, in the Feast of Trumpets, at your birth, that you came to dwell in a human body and show us what it's really like to walk in Yahweh's word. Give us the proper example in every way, and to be circumspect, not be careless about our being a believer, and to take it seriously and be thankful, being appreciative of everything that you've given us, all the creation around, the beauty and all of that that we couldn't have, no one could have made. It couldn't have evolved. Obviously was your fine handiwork. Come quickly, Yahweh. Maranatha, when you make up your jewels, we will look forward to you in that great supper, the wedding feast, keeping the Feast of Tabernacles, Zechariah 14, keeping it with you in eternity, in its season. Thank you for the book of the Revelation. That is so many different symbols in there. You know, we could study for hundreds of years and come up with different ideas, I suppose, but the main thing is to be on fire for you, to be eager enough to follow your word and your law, to not walk astray from the right way. Keep our minds on you. And to not worry about what man would do to us, either in harm or in influence or in financial ways, in our employment. Sweep all that away, Yahweh. Seal us. Bless us. Give us the wisdom, the discernment to go on. And we want to wear that white robe. And in your esteem, in the future, esteem in the future, that the King James says glory, we want to be ready. And we don't want to wind up being punished, as the multitude probably will be. You said, here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of Yahweh and the faith of the Messiah, in Revelation 14:12. Thank you for your rest day, the convocation days of the Sabbath, the new moons, which are a shadow of things to come. They're still a shadow of things to come. Thank you for these opportunities of fellowship with you and with one another, with true brethren. And there's still many. In fact, there's new brethren coming around every day. And we're encouraged by that. Bring us new, fresh blood into the assembly, as it were. People with many gifts, many talents, and not extraneous things that come from some new age or psychological doctrines or anything, dogmas rather of men. But those who have come out of all these things. They've come out of the RCC. They've come out of the ecumenical movement. Come out of being a Mormon or a Jehovah's Witness or a once saved, always saved Presbyterian or Baptist. They've come out to be a true believer in Messiah. And they are such a inspiration to us to see men and women and children like that who have such conviction, yet we seem to lack. We pale in comparison to some of these new believers, these fresh ones that, well, they haven't been worn down like we have through the test of time. And sometimes I think we've failed a lot of those tests. But, at least in my personal case anyway, we probably failed on that, but anyway, you've forgiven, and you haven't abandoned me yet, I know, and you never will. As long as I don't reject you, you're not going to reject me. So, thank you, Yahweh. Call them all to repentance and to being in a spirit of perfection, as our Heavenly Father is perfect. Thank you in Yahweh HaMashiach's name. Hallel Yahweh.